They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Expensing the Fencing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today, the president signs the Secure Fence Act of 2006. It calls for the government to build a 700-mile barrier along a stretch of the U.S.-Mexican border. What the bill doesn't provide is the money to pay for it. And, oh, it will be expensive. Here's John Dimsdale.
The new law calls for building a double-layered wall with roads, lighting, cameras, and sensors along a third of the distance between the Pacific Ocean and the Gulf of Mexico. The cost estimates range from $2.2 to $6 billion. Most of that will have to be appropriated in future budget bills.
A fence is a good start.
Stephen Camerata with the Center for Immigration Studies thinks it will be money well spent.
It probably does have some deterrent effect, where now you have places where large numbers of people come across and overwhelm sometimes the Border Patrol. That becomes much more difficult when you put in a system of fencing.
Opponents range from environmentalists worried about migrating animals to a Native American tribe that straddles the border. The Department of Homeland Security has argued that a virtual fence using land-based and airborne sensors could also do the trick at a lower cost. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
As expected, the Federal Reserve left interest rates alone. That gave stocks a small boost. But oil prices were even more important. Oil climbed about $2 a barrel, and ExxonMobil shares were one of the big gainers. The Dow put on less than a tenth to 12,134. The NASDAQ climbed 0.5% to 2356. The S&P 500 added 0.3 to 1382. Oil's trading at $61.50 a barrel. Lung cancer kills more people than any other kind of cancer. But for years, doctors have discouraged getting lung screenings too early. They can lead to false positive readings. Now a new study suggests the benefits might be too great to ignore. From North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports.
The study found that people with lung tumors discovered early through CT or computerized tomography scans increased their survival rates by more than 20%. If the study results hold, CT scans for smokers could one day become as routine as mammograms are for women. Mammogram maker Hologic is expected to bring in $600 million in revenue this year. And CT scan makers like GE, Toshiba, and Philips could see sales soar. Healthcare analyst Les Funtleiter is with Miller Tabak.
It's hard to break out how much usage is related to how much demand in sales. But obviously more demand for scans somewhere down the line relates to more demand for the scanners.
Insurance companies might not be keen on paying the bill, but Funtleiter says healthcare providers would ultimately save money on early scans that are much cheaper than end-of-life care for lung cancer patients. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
At Sony, things are bad, really bad. Profits plunged 94% last quarter to just $14 million. The battery recall and problems in the video game division are draining the bottom line. This is Marketplace. And now for a look back at this week in business history, we open the Marketplace vault. And where are we? On the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
When the New York Stock Exchange started in 1792, it had just 24 members. Having a seat represented an ownership stake in the exchange, as well as the right to trade stocks on the floor. Members were invited in and could hold their seats for life. That changed this week back in 1869, when the big board started letting members sell their seats. It helped the exchange become more dynamic, and the seats became quite a commodity. The first sold for $4,000. The record was set last year at $4 million. But the days of buying and selling seats are over. Earlier this year, the NYSE went public. The more than 1,300 members received $5 million for their seats in cash and stock in the new company. Trading rights at the exchange will now be auctioned off each year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Organization for Rare Disorders mission to identify, treat, and cure overlooked and undertreated health conditions. More at rarediseases.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
All around America, men and women worry about their jobs.
Iraq. Healthcare.
Energy and education.
What you want?
So what's the real agenda this midterm election? If you look at the polls, health care is way up there. And some states are doing something about it. Missouri wants to raise the tobacco tax to pay for more health insurance for low-income people. The problem in Missouri is that Medicaid is very sick. Hilary Wauquiez has more.
Okay.
Yep. Just a couple more now.
A helper puts one of 13 afternoon pills into Wayne Fry's mouth. The 46-year-old was a middle-class carpenter before he broke his neck and became a quadriplegic about a decade ago. A bed sore almost cost Fry his life. So Medicaid provided him with a special air mattress that prevents the nasty sores. But then, last winter,
I got a phone call that they were going to come pick this mattress up the next day.
Fry struggles with speech after a stroke. A local charity pleaded to delay the pickup until it could locate a donated mattress.
They want the mattress back, and they got it.
Fry says he got lucky because there aren't enough charities out there to help everyone. Like many other states, Missouri was caught in the wind shear of rising Medicaid costs and dipping state revenue, so it made some of the most drastic cuts in the country. In the last year, at least 116,000 Missourians, and perhaps more, have fallen off Medicaid's rolls, including children and the disabled. But by far the hardest hit are working parents. As it stands now, a working parent with two children can make no more than $292 a month to qualify for Medicaid.
No one liked doing that.
That's Republican and Missouri Senate Majority Leader Michael Gibbons. He says the program went from costing $400 million state dollars in 1992 to more than $1 billion in 2005. So Missouri took the emergency step of slashing eligibility. But the ultimate goal? Overhaul the whole system.
I offered the amendment. I honestly didn't think it would pass. But I offered the amendment to end our state Medicaid system June 30th of 2008. No other state has done that.
The state doesn't have a plan to share yet. The governor's office declined an interview. But a state commission made dozens of recommendations on how to fix Medicaid. Among them is an emphasis on personal responsibility, tiered copays, and encouraging long-term care insurance for younger consumers. Advocate Amy Bluen with the Missouri Budget Project fears even more people will be hurt in the process.
We're kind of like the crash test dummy of the nation.
Bluen believes a cigarette tax would go a long way to fixing Medicaid, but Gibbons says taxes alone aren't the answer. Meantime, Celeste Webster, a divorced mom of two, lost her Medicaid last summer. She waitresses in a health food restaurant with the hope the food she eats there will help prevent cancer. Other than that, her backup plan is simple.
I pray that I beat my family's odds and I don't get breast cancer.
In St. Louis, I'm Hilary Wauquiez for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.